We pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. There's an attitude with some young people who tend to be male that they're invincible. They act like they're bulletproof. And I guess there's a temptation to think that way. After all, you're young. You have lots of energy. You have your whole life ahead of you. Worrisome things like going bankrupt, getting cancer, losing a spouse. These are not your problems. Not now, anyway. But the day does come, sooner or later, when something which may not be directly your fault leads to pain, difficulty. And you can be sure when that happens that the devil will try to barge in, invading your mind with a thought like, hey, here's proof that God doesn't love you. Or maybe it's the thought, God must be punishing you for something you did. Looking ahead to that kind of crisis, and also with our current problems, whatever those may be, let's understand better what God teaches us in these verses of Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ Jesus who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That text, starting with the opening verse, is so reassuring. If God is for us, which he is, who can be against us? Now, maybe you're the kind of person that people would say, she doesn't have any real enemies. She's so nice. Make no mistake about the fact that we all have one and the same very fierce and tenacious spiritual enemy. The devil is not your friend, though he may pretend to be. Satan is hell-bent on dragging you and me to the exact same place where he is destined to spend all eternity. And it seems that he has a powerful weapon to use against us. The guilt of our own sins. The undeniable fact that we have trampled all over God's commandments so many times. The devil would love to stand before your judge and mine and say it loud and long, hey, they're just as guilty as I am. They deserve the same condemnation I'm getting. Thankfully, the devil's not the only one talking. Jesus has the last word, and it's based on something he already did. You know the facts of the good news. Make them personal for yourself. The Son of God came down for you into this world and stepped into your place under God. He took all of your sins on himself and carried them to the cross, where he paid in full for every bad thought, every wrong word, every false step, every kind of sin and every instance of it. He paid with his holy blood, and the Father was satisfied with that. Let's not forget that aspect. The Heavenly Father showed his complete satisfaction with the sacrifice, with the payment, by having his Son rise from the grave, never to die again, and to resume his heavenly throne at God's right hand. So right now, and every moment, you have in heaven a very powerful ally in a very high place. You can think of Jesus as your lawyer who speaks to the judge on your behalf and pleads your case. Or should we call it cases? With each new sin that we commit, Jesus is there to cause the Father to stick with the verdict. Justified. Forgiven. By the way, that is the greatest security you could have. Security from condemnation. It's the security of knowing that all of our sins are wiped away, off the record, gone from God's sight, because of Christ. If you have that, everything else, in good times or bad, will fall into place according to God's plan. Verse 32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" God wants you in this passage to think from greater to lesser, harder to easier. Think like this: if God has already done the harder thing, sending Jesus to the cross to solve your biggest problem with sin, death, and hell, won't he do the easier, smaller things, like providing what we need or keeping us safe from danger? Really, it's stronger than that. God wants you, by faith, to assume that on the basis of that sacrifice already made, the only possibility here is that God and his Son will give freely to you and me all things. So, when the Lord one day allows you to go through some kind of crisis, you have a way to deal with that. You get to take it up with him in prayer and count on the fact that he listens. In his loving wisdom, he may choose to give what you ask: healing, recovery, protection. If that's not the case, if the answer seems to be no, he still wants you to be sure that he loves you the same, he forgives you for the same reason, he's still with you at every turn, and he wants us to claim that promise of all things, which has to include his very best. That wonderful life with God that never ends, where all is made good and the bad things are gone, including the enemy. That's the guarantee we have from the God who loves us perfectly and sent Jesus to prove it. Jesus, our Savior from heaven, is our lawyer in heaven and our security of heaven. Amen. Let us close with the singing of hymn 737, stanzas 2 and 3. Stanzas 2 and 3, 737.